Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Jesus was resurrected. Though the disciples weren't sure the stories were true. In an evening behind closed doors, this happens. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had been meeting were locked for fear of the temple leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Oh, but if you retain them, they are retained." From John chapter 20, the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I imagine that day, that first day of the week, the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples afraid, hiding behind the closed doors, doors locked for fear of the temple leaders. And then Jesus is there, saying, "Peace. May you be one with each other, one with all people, one with all of God's creation. May you become one with God." In other words, shalom. Ken spent some time trying to define what peace meant to him. The Jewish people have a word for that concept, shalom. Shalom incorporates so much more than absence of war. Shalom is union with other people. Shalom is union with all of God's creation. Shalom means becoming one with God. Jesus says, "Shalom be with you. As the Father has sent me to teach you, to guide you into shalom, as the Father has sent me to teach you how to forgive, now you go. Do what I have taught you. Awaken to the presence of the Holy Spirit within you. For the Spirit will give you everything you need to follow me. Go and teach what a life of forgiveness means. But I warn you, if you hold on to anything, the unforgiven will eat you up inside. The unforgiven will be like an infection that grows, like a septic infection, and that pressure will burst and destroy your shalom." And then Jesus disappears, slips out the door into the night. And the disciples must have been at peace. They must have lost their fear of the temple leaders, for they left the house, and the next morning they went fishing. And Jesus found them on the Sea of Galilee. He tended a small fire, and the boys were in the water not too far away, and Jesus calls them. He says, "Come on in. Come on in. Bring some fish." And they cooked breakfast on the shore. And then Jesus looked at Peter after they had eaten and said, "Simon, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these disciples?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then go feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? Peter said, you know that I love you. And Jesus replied, then tend my sheep. A third time, Jesus says, Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This time, Peter, greatly hurt, says, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, Simon Peter, feed my sheep. I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt wherever you would go, wherever you would wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you places you do not want to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After he said this, he stared straight into Peter's eyes and said, Peter, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple who Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had sat reclining next to Jesus at the supper. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? And Jesus said, if it is my will for him to remain alive until the end of time, what is it to you? I said, follow me. While the disciples might have been at peace, while they might have lost their fear of the temple leaders, while they might have been encouraged to go back and fish, they weren't doing what Jesus had asked them to do. They weren't following him. He had spent 3 years teaching them how to be disciples, and they had gone back to their old way of life immediately. Jesus calls them back in and reminds them what he had called them to do. But Peter's not yet living a life of shalom. He's holding on to unforgiveness. Now, I imagine that John had quite the ability to get underneath Peter's skin. I'm the one Jesus loves best. Hey, I'm not making this up. John writes it himself many times in his gospel. I'm the one that Jesus loved best. Had to drive Peter nuts. Peter couldn't forgive him. Peter couldn't let it go. And it ate him up. And Peter couldn't forgive himself. He had abandoned his best friend. The one he said, I would die for you. Peter abandoned him. And after he denied him 3 times and said, I do not even know the man, he looked up and saw Jesus staring straight at him. It had to have crushed him. And he couldn't forgive himself, so he couldn't believe that Jesus would forgive him. And he couldn't forgive John, so he couldn't believe that Jesus would forgive him. And Jesus says, Peter, I offer you the way to learn that you are forgiven. Follow me. For the rest of your life, follow me. Give me everything you are, and you will come to experience me in such powerful ways. You will know you are forgiven. Come with me, filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will go transform lives, communities in the world. Come with me and teach what it means to be forgiven. And everywhere you go, people will see you and experience me. And Peter went. And it couldn't have been easy. Even though Peter had experienced the risen Christ, it couldn't have been easy. Because Peter knew, stepping into what he was being called to do, that he had been promised he would experience the same death that Jesus had. Jesus says, go anyways, Peter. And I promise you, you will have shalom even in that. For I am calling you to prove your love to me. And I know Christians, we don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that we are called to work for Jesus, but we are. Jesus says it to Peter. If you love me, tend my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, follow me. And those are the words that I hear God saying to me today. Those are the words that I hear God saying, Eric, preach and let people know that I am calling them into ministry, calling them to follow me, calling them into lives of forgiveness, calling them into lives of shalom. And that shalom can be had today. Last week, Ken was talking about the ministry theme, and every week we spend hours together crafting. We don't look at this as worship alone. This is a work of art that we craft so that hopefully Ken and I can slip away, and what you all experience is the presence of God in worship with each other. And in order to create a work of art, every work of art has to have a theme. So we create this worship environment around a theme, and Ken likes to describe how the theme speaks to him and how he selects music. So last week, Ken is talking about freedom, the freedom that Christ brings, and he used the story of how for 20 years he had studied voice. Voice was the core of his life. He is a professional singer, and that's all he ever wanted to be from the time he was 5 years old. Practicing, training, 10,000 hours, maybe more. Training. Until he was 20 years into his training. Not too long ago, he met a voice instructor who said, "Ken, you are so filled with tension. You are chained to this tension. Oh, if you could release all of that stress and tension, you would be unbelievable." Now, after 20 years of training, Ken was in a position, he had learned enough to be able to hear this teacher. And in 2 weeks' time, he was free. And he said his vocal range increased measurably, and his power increased measurably. And for the first time in his life, he was singing with a joy and freedom he had never experienced before. And he said, "That's what it's like to experience Christ." I received a phone call on Tuesday from somebody who heard our worship service, who was part of our worship service on Easter. We'll call him Joe. And Joe said, "Eric, I had the most incredible Easter service. It was phenomenal. God spoke to me in the most powerful, crystal clear way on Easter." And I was about ready to say, "Well, thanks for the affirmation of my sermon." And he went on, and he cut me off before I could say thank you. He went on to say, "Ken just spoke to me. I know it was Jesus speaking." Which is why it is so great to work with Ken. Such a joy to have a team here, a worship team. It isn't all about one of us. It's this team trying to hear what we say, God speaking to us. My friend went on to say that, "You know, I realized, I thought I was a pretty mature Christian. But when I heard Ken speak, I was convicted. I realized that for all of my life, in the back of my mind, even until I came to church on Sunday morning, in the back of my mind, I was saying, I don't really have to give my life to Jesus. I can do some nice things and be good, but I don't really have to follow Jesus with everything. At the end of my life, I can just say, 'Jesus, forgive me,' and I'll be golden." He said, "Today, I realize for the first time what I would miss. Today, I realize for the first time that Jesus came so that I might have life abundant today." And I'd like to paraphrase what my friend said. What a shame. What a shame to wait until we die to experience shalom, when shalom is here today. Today there is a group of people meeting at 1 o'clock in the parking lot. I got a call last week from one of our ladies, one of our 90-year-olds, who said, almost 90, she would probably be upset if I said 90, because she's not quite 90. "Eric, one of my dear friends, who's older than me, has a daughter who's had 2 heart attacks in the last year, and her husband died 6 months ago, and she has a tree that's fallen in her property. She lives down in Springdale, and she had a nephew that she said, 'You can have all my husband's tools if you take the tree away,' and he took the tools and left the tree. And now the city's saying they're going to put a lien on my house to pay for the removal of the tree. Can you guys help?" So today, There's a group of people meeting in the parking lot at 1 o'clock to head to Springdale to help. Perhaps you might help. I suggested that Bill Fernandez kind of looked like a lumberjack today. And he said, no, mountain man. So if you could help, see our mountain man here. He and the senior service team are meeting in the parking lot. Today, there's a woman in a hotel who was homeless yesterday. She came here seeking assistance, and there happened to be a group of people working at the church. And instead of doing the work that they had gathered to do, they spent 3 hours trying to find a place to shelter her. And you remember what yesterday was like. Imagine sleeping outside yesterday, and nobody would take her. So today, she's in a hotel room for a week because of that group of people. Today, Grace Mims, who's 25 years old, a member of Leanne and David Mims, is being commissioned in our 11 o'clock service to go minister in India. This will be her second trip to India. The first trip she paid for completely because she wrote a book, self-published it, and used the funds to pay for her trip. This is a brilliant young lady who just completed her master's degree at LSU and heard God saying, I need you back in India to feed my sheep. So today, Grace Mims is going back to India. Today, Jesus is calling all of us. If you love me, tend to my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, follow me. And together, we will transform lives, communities, and the world. Because when people see you, they will experience me.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.